The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
And yet, David was a young man when God began to work with him and move him toward fulfilling his destiny. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we begin to hear God and we recognize that God has a destiny for us. And we may not have fulfilled that destiny yet in our life, but if you will catch hold of the power of God, you will fulfill the destiny that he has for you. If you recognize that he is speaking to you, that he wants you to do his work, when you come to that realization that he has called you and equipped you, then you are prepared to fulfill the destiny that God has for you. Amen? You guys, you stayed up too late last night, didn't you? You're just kind of quiet. And I know. You're just soaking it in. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Matthew chapter 14. Let's go back there. I think we're going to go ahead and read that again. Beginning with verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered and said to the Lord, "If it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. All right. We're going to stop right there, and I'll pick that up in just a little bit. But what we've discovered from in the beginning and what the things that I've been talking about and I've emphasized is that the first thing you have to do is get in the boat. When Jesus has a call and he says do something, we have to respond to it. We have to get in the boat. And sometimes that means that we have a lot of work to do. Because if you get in the boat, in this situation, they had to get in the boat and row to the other side, which was about 7 miles away. It would have taken about 3 hours if it wouldn't have been for the storm. So there's some work involved here. Jesus calls us and he equips us, but he has called his people to do something, to work. Sometimes we get in the mode, well, we just feel like, well, if this is God's will, then he'll make it happen. Well, it doesn't work that way. It may be God's will, but God has a call on you to do something about it. And I can tell you this from experience here at Bethel Worship Center. If God has called you to do something in this church and you're not doing it, it's not going to get done. Because he's called you to do it. And if somebody else steps into that place to do the work, just because no one else is doing it, it will not be done the way God wants it done. Not that they're doing anything wrong. They're trying. They're striving. They want to fulfill the ministry and accomplish what God wants them to accomplish in their life. They may be searching, but if it's not the right person in the right place, it's not completely fulfilled the way it's supposed to be. Look, that's why sometimes in ministry around here, if we have a ministry that we have started, and the person that's involved or heading up that ministry, they step down. We don't always continue with that ministry. Because it has to be the right person that God has called to complete the ministry. I've seen this happen over and over and over in churches. Just because they have a ministry in place, they keep it going. without the right person leading that ministry. And it's, you know, it's the old story where the, you know, the Indians always talked about the dead horse. There's different ways to ride a dead horse. You know, you can beat a dead horse. What good does that do? And that's what we do with ministry sometimes. We're beating a dead horse because we're trying to make it work. Well, let's let God work things. Let's let the Spirit of God move among us and accomplish things. Just because we have a ministry, which might be a very good ministry, it might be fulfilling needs, but it also might be time for a new type of ministry. Something else to come along. Anybody understand what I'm saying here? That sometimes we just try so hard to accomplish things. Yes, we're supposed to do the work of the Lord, but let's wait on the Lord to give us direction. See, Jesus said, get in the boat. And they got in the boat and started working to the other side. We need to hear from Jesus. Get in the boat. Get in the boat when he tells us to get in the boat. All right, that was the first thing that we talked about. The second is you must accept the mission, expect storms. Storms are going to happen. In every life, yes, there's work. And guess what? Once you get in a storm, the work is even harder. Can you imagine these guys out there? They had been rowing all night long trying to get to the other side because there was a storm. And in the middle of the storm, sometimes the work becomes even more intense. Don't become frustrated. Don't let the enemy convince you that the storm is going to overtake you. Recognize that Jesus is still with you. Recognize he is. And the way you do that, number three is you recognize Jesus as Lord. You see, Peter had a revelation here. This is the first place in Matthew that's recorded that Peter called Jesus Lord. He had a revelation in the middle of a storm. Sometimes we can get revelation in the middle of the storm. Listen. If I'm ever going to get revelation, if I'm in the middle of the storm, I want it then. I need that revelation. And a revelation sometimes comes to you when you're just reading the same scripture that you've read over and over and over. Boom, you have a revelation about that. God speaks to you. Sometimes it's just when you're going about your daily tasks and duties, the Lord will speak to you and you get a revelation. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is not confined to the way we think he has to work.
That's right.
He is able to work on behalf of his people any way he chooses. And we just have to recognize, look for opportunities for the Spirit of God to give you revelation. But most important, you've got to recognize Jesus as Lord. You won't be able to go through storms unless Jesus is your Lord. If all he is just your Savior, you know, the little Jesus, the quaint pictures of Jesus sitting with a lamb on his lap and petting that lamb, if that's all Jesus is to you, you're not going to make it. Jesus has to be your warrior.
That's right.
Jesus has to be your Lord and Master. He has to mean everything to you. Because storms are going to come. All right, now the last thing that we're talking about this morning is that the fact that little faith is better than no faith. All right, we're going to read the rest of this. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. First of all, he had a revelation, Lord. And he said, Lord, tell me to come. How many of us, you know, at some time in your life that you've had a revelation of who God is and who Jesus really is in your life? And you said, Lord, bid me to come. See, when we have that revelation, that's when we get the call, the real call, to do whatever it is God wants us to do. Because that's when we must respond to him. Lord, tell me to come. Show me what to do. Direct my every step. Allow me to be everything you want me to be. You know what? My cry to God early on as a believer was, Lord, just make me somebody in your kingdom. Does that seem weird? It must. You're all really quiet. I just want to be somebody in your kingdom, God. You know, I don't care about the world. I don't care what the world thinks. I want to be somebody in your kingdom. I want to accomplish something for you and for the kingdom of God. I want to build you up. I don't care about my own kingdom. I don't need a kingdom. What I need to do is do your work so that your kingdom is expanded in this world. I want to be somebody in your kingdom. I still want to be somebody in God's kingdom. Well, I hope that's our cry, our desire. Just be somebody. It doesn't matter what it is. Just, you know, I'm not talking about glitter and limelight and all that. I'm talking about being a servant of the Most High God and being faithful to Him. All right. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. Well, I need to back up. I missed it. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? This is an incredible scripture. This man was in the middle of the storm. He got a revelation of who Jesus was, and it made him step out of the boat in the middle of the storm. It would have been incredible if the sea would have been calm. But think about this. There was a storm, huge storm going on that kept them from being able to row to the other side. And he said, Lord, tell me to come. And he stepped out on the waves, the boisterous water, and he was able to begin to walk on water. And yet, when he started to sink, Jesus said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Let's think about this a little bit. Here is Peter out there walking on the water, and all these other guys are cowering in the boat, fearful that they're going to sink, and they're probably, at the same time, they're probably bailing water because the waves are filling up the boat with water, their ship, and Peter's out here walking on water. Jesus didn't say a thing to them. He didn't rebuke them. He rebuked the one that had enough faith to step out of the boat in the first place. That seems strange to me. Why didn't he pick Peter up and put him back in a boat and say, look, guys, this is what it's going to take? And he didn't. He rebuked him. He said, you have little faith. Let's think about this a little bit. Little faith. Little faith in the Greek, oligopistos. It's made up the two words, small, oligo and small, and pistos, faith. And, of course, that's what it means, small faith. Now, as we look at this situation, and as sermon after sermon I've ever heard, criticized Peter for being a person of little faith. And yet, Peter had more faith than most of us in the body of Christ today. Just enough to step out of the boat on the waves. And everyone else was just sitting in the boat, cowering, fearful. Faith, a definition of faith is essentially a personal trusting or response to God. God who speaks words of promise to us. So it's when you get down to faith, it really means to trust in God. Every believer in Christ must trust in God. I heard a story of a little boy that he was at Sunday school and he got on a bus. And he had a paper that said faith in God, and the windows were down. And as they were going along, his paper flew out, and he cried out, "I've lost my faith in God." Of course, the driver knew what had happened. He pulled over, and people were making comments about the, you know, a little boy's being naive. And one of the passengers said to everybody, "You know what? We would all probably be a lot better off if we were more concerned, or as concerned about as this young man, about our faith in God." True, isn't it? Faith. If we're not careful, our faith, you know, we don't completely lose our faith in God, but sometimes it gets very weak. Hey, man, come on, I'm being real with you. I have times in my life where I allow my faith to get weak. And if I'm not stirring my faith and trusting God, trusting in Scripture, my faith will become weaker and weaker and weaker. I told you in the beginning when I started this message that this is a message to me, that I'm stirring my own faith, that I'm desiring to encourage myself like David did. David said, I have to encourage myself. Everybody had turned against him. And he said, I'm going to encourage myself. I'm going to encourage myself. Now, I don't believe everyone's turned against me. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be here this morning. I would know. That's the strange thing about church. When people turn against you, you know immediately. They don't show up. There's two things they do. Sometimes they stop giving their tithe. That's the first thing. And then they don't show up. Two real good indications that people have turned against you. How's that feel? It's painful. I want you to know that. I'm not trying to hide that. It is very painful when that happens. Sometimes, and that's why sometimes we have to be able to encourage ourselves in the Lord. As a pastor, if I can't encourage myself in the Lord, I'm in big trouble. Now, I have a good group of men, elders, and a group of deacons that they encourage me and they stand with me and they'll pray with me when I have weak times. But I'd better be able to encourage myself in the Lord. And I'm encouraging you this morning. You need to be able to encourage yourself in the Lord. You need to know what the Word of God says about you and who you are. And no matter what happens, your God is with you. He has promised that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That He has called you and He has equipped you and He is with you. And He has already ordered your steps. Your steps are ordered. All you have to do is follow those steps. Amen? Okay, faith, a little faith. Every believer in Jesus Christ has a measure of faith. That's what the Scripture tells us. In Romans 12:3, it says, "For I say, though the grace given unto you to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Everybody, if you did not have faith, you would not be able to accept Christ as your personal Savior. God has dealt to everyone the ability to be able to make that decision. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." So you had to exercise that faith to receive Christ as your personal Savior. But I'm sorry to say, in many cases, that's about as far as people exercise their faith. Many times, people are not able to move beyond just receiving Christ as their personal Savior. In fact, they can't even move beyond or move to the stage of allowing God to be in charge of their finances by trusting Him as a tither. Yes, sir. And look, if you can't trust God with your finances, what are you going to trust Him with? We might run to God and cry out for healing, and we haven't even trusted Him for our finances. We might run to God and cry out to mend relationship, and we haven't even trusted Him for our finances. How can we walk in this power that God has given us and have and recognize that He wants to do great things for us if we can't even take a baby step and trust Him with our finances?
That's right.
I believe that's our first step in this thing. Trusting God, walking by faith. In the New Testament, Jesus teaches about three levels or degrees of faith that I believe are prevalent in the body of Christ. Little faith, faith, and great faith. Little faith is seen here with Peter. According to what Jesus said, he said, "Oh, you of little faith." Little faith will sustain you. It will cause you to be, well, I take that back. It will cause you to be able to step out of the boat and move out onto the water, but it will not sustain you as the storm rages around you. It's little faith, but it's faith. And I want to say to you this morning, I just encourage you. I hope you have at least have little faith. Little faith is important to be able to navigate through this life that we live in. Okay, we'll come back to little faith. Let's talk about faith. It's certainty and in regards to what God has told us. It's belief. It's believing without seeing. It's trusting. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is believing without really seeing something happen. This morning, God is speaking to you to believe even though you're not seeing it happen. Trust Him for what you've been asking for. Because you may not be seeing it happen. It doesn't look like all the cards are starting to fall in place. But believe me, when it's time, God will give you the hand you need. It's just the way He works. And it happens just like that in God's timing, not in our timing. Turn with me to Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." So Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around when he saw her and said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all the land. Now faith, according to what we're seeing here, these people had faith. Faith in God requires other people's faith. Sometimes. In a situation like this, look, in both of these situations, they required a touch from Jesus or to be able to touch Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that. In the church today, we follow that example. It says when someone's sick, call the elders of the church together, or anoint them with oil and pray over them. That's important. And that's a means of touching and a way of applying our faith through the supernatural power that God has given to others as well. So it's other people encouraging your faith, helping your faith. Touching and praying and believing. Faith is an interesting thing because down through the ages, there has been different times when the church leaders have said, and they're saying it today, that miracles no longer happen. They said that they were done away when the apostles passed away. Or they have come up with all kinds of other excuses. But I can tell you, if you will look at church history, anytime God's people began to believe in the living God, there were signs and wonders following. Power of God was released. Always, God wants to work on His behalf of His people. But it takes faith. And faith is our part. Now, there's one exception to that, and that is in Corinthians, it says there's a gift of faith. And that gift of faith operates supernaturally without any part, any effort on our part, because it comes from the Holy Spirit. It'll come upon you. I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but if you have the gift of faith operate in your life, suddenly you just know that you know that you know that it's going to be done. And it's done. There isn't any doubt about it. And that's the gift of faith coming upon you. However, when it comes to faith, most of the time, we have to put our faith in the Word of God. We have to put our faith in what God has said will take place. And yes, part of that is having other people lay hands on you, having the elders lay hands on you, reaching out. You know, we do prayer cloths because we believe that that is that example is set forth in the New Testament, where they took pieces of cloth from Paul and they anointed it and they took it out to those who were sick and they were healed. They had something tangible to trust in and to believe that God was moving. There wasn't anything supernatural about the cloth, except the power of the Holy Spirit was sent forth because of it. The cloth itself wasn't particularly white or particularly pure or particularly anything. Cloth was a means of putting your faith in the power of God. It's trusting God. So that's faith. I believe God's still using His servants and His people to stir people's faith today. All right, great faith. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Beginning with verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." The Greek word here, the great, merely means a great quantity, a lot. Jesus said, "I've not seen this much faith in anybody in Israel." And this guy is a Gentile. Great faith. Why did he have great faith? Because he believed that the spoken word was powerful. He believed that Jesus spoke. All Jesus had to do was speak it and it would take place. It didn't matter whether the servant was present or not. If Jesus spoke it, it was in the supernatural realm and it went forth and touched him. It's the power of the spoken word. It's the power of the Word of God. You see, great faith puts our trust in the Word of God no matter what's happening around us. No matter what the diagnosis is, no matter what the situation seems to be occurring, no matter how the finances look, great faith puts their trust in the living God, no matter what, and in His Word, that He is the living Word. And the things that that is written in this book, this thing we call the Bible, the supernatural. This thing, do you believe that? See, here's what we have to believe, that this thing is supernatural. Not just the written words on the paper. There's nothing supernatural about the book being bound up and all that. But there's supernatural power in believing these words. There's supernatural power in trusting in the Word of God and being able to hear what God has to say to us individually. There is supernatural power in this thing. And when we trust in it, it doesn't matter what comes our way. It doesn't matter how many times we have to struggle. We are putting our trust in the living God. That's regardless of what the enemy sends at us and throws at us. It's great faith. This man had great faith to trust Jesus when he said, "Your servant's healed. Go. It's done. It is done." When God says to you this morning, "It's done. It's taken care of. I have promised you and I'm going to fulfill that promise. Trust me. It's done." Great faith says, "Thank you, Lord."
Yes, sir. That's right.
And goes its way. You know, if when he was on his way back, the story says that he was sent word that his servant was healed. But he knew that before he even got there. He knew it.
That's right.
Because he trusted the spoken word of Jesus Christ. That's great faith. I want to live in great faith, but I don't always live in great faith. Right? Come on. We all want to be this great person of faith that others look to and say, "Man, wow, I'd like to be like that." I hope that's our desire. But how many know, truthfully, that you're not always living there? I'm not always living there. That's why we have a body. That when I get weak, the body lifts me up and encourages me. The body says, "Listen, Pastor, it may not look good, but we're trusting God."
That's right.
See, when I'm weak, you're strong. And hopefully I can be strong for you when you're weak. There's nothing, listen, there is nothing wrong with being weak from time to time. What's wrong is when we try to pretend like we're never weak. We got to be faithful to our God. See, this situation with Peter, this little faith, and we're going to go back there now. Oh, look at that. Little faith is better than no faith. I want to encourage you this morning that maybe you're in that situation where you're having little faith this morning. That you have stepped out of the boat and the storm is raging and you're looking around and it's scary. It's a scary place to be. Because the storm is real. You see, this is not a fictitious story. This really happened 2,000 years ago. And he was really walking on water, and there really was a storm going on, and Jesus was standing right out there, and all he had to do was keep his eyes on Jesus, and he started looking at the storm. When you start looking at the storm, that's when your faith begins to waver. But listen to me. When Jesus picked him up, and Jesus will pick you up, if you're going through that situation this morning and you feel like you just don't have enough faith, Jesus is going to pick you up. He's going to grab you by the hand. That's why you're here this morning.
Come on.
Because he's picking you up. And he's going to take you back to that ship and that boat, and he's going to put you back in the boat. And he's going to take you to the other side. It would have been nice if you'd have been able to walk on water to the other side, but that's not what happened. You wavered. You had some difficult times. You saw the storm. And Jesus put you back in the boat. But I want to tell you something. When Peter got back to the boat, I can guarantee this. All those other disciples that were sitting in that boat were saying to themselves, "I wish I'd have done that. I wish I'd have stepped out." Even though he didn't continue to walk on water to Jesus, he still did something incredible that most people wouldn't do. He still did something that was supernatural and powerful. He still did something that most people would not even dare to do. And Jesus is saying to you this morning, you may feel like you're sinking, and Jesus is picking you up. He's going to put you back. He's going to take you to the other side. But listen to me. That's just that was not a futile exercise of faith. It was powerful in your life. And it moves you on to another level. Peter, as crazy as Peter was, he was head and shoulders above everyone else when it came to faith. And then when he faltered and fell and disappointed Jesus, he did it just as radical as he did walking by faith. But everybody in that boat, I know they wanted to be like Peter. They wanted to be able to step out and walk by faith. Today, Jesus is saying to you, to all of us, just trust me. Trust me. You didn't do everything you thought you were going to do. The storm got the best of you. You started to sink, but I'm always there. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm going to pick you back up, and we're going to go on to the other side. Amen. And when you get to the other side, there is much, much to do. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. As we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, not always an easy thing, but it's always worth it. He has rewards for His people. He wants to encourage us to stand and to trust Him, to walk by faith. Today, I'm just going to ask you to bow your head. Father God, there are many in here that I know storms have come into their life. You know, they put their trust in you. And Lord, they've done their best to just step out and walk to you. But that storm has been horrendous. But today, Father God, you're saying, I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to put you back. And I'm going to take you to the other side. And your faith is going to be increased. Thank you, Father God, for touching each person here today. For ministering life to those who need to hear this message. Little faith is better than no faith. Little faith will accomplish a lot. Hallelujah. Father, we just give you praise and glory for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'm going to ask our prayer teams to come forward, our elders to come up. And if you'd like to be ministered to this morning, you feel like you'd like to have a special prayer or receive a word from the Lord this morning, that's what our prayer teams are all about. If you'd like to have healing, the elders pray for you for healing. We're here to do that as well. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.